Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
We're celebrating the veggies that survive in the cold months. Late winter greens are colorful, chock full of nutrients, and plentiful this time of year. No more watery cooked spinach for you. We offer two ways to get the perfect wilt and a Tuscan-style roasted broccoli that's hearty enough to eat as your main course. But first, here's Luann Johnson with a look at this week's news.
Although many factors contribute to the global food crisis, data shows that biofuels are a leading contributor to the skyrocketing prices. Adding biofuel production to global food demands doubles the amount of grains that are needed worldwide without giving any more space to grow them. Impressively, until now, the world's farmers have been able to meet the demand for both biofuels and edible grains. But increased land demands for meat consumption, droughts in Russia, and floods in Australia have made it difficult to meet global food needs. Researchers say it's imperative to move on to advanced biofuels such as garbage and crop residue. Along with Oprah Winfrey's former personal chef, two former McDonald's executives are opening a new fast, casual restaurant chain that will offer meals of under 600 calories. Life Kitchen, which stands for Love Your Food Every Day, is a Chicago-based restaurant company that plans to offer healthy burgers in addition to low-fat, low-salt, and vegan options. In the Life Kitchen, butter, cream, and high-fructose corn syrup are banned, and none of the food is fried. Life plans on opening its first restaurant in Palo Alto, California, and in the next 5 years, it hopes to have 250 restaurants nationally. And the days surrounding Valentine's Day and Easter tend to be some of the busiest for chocolate vendors, but political unrest in Ivory Coast may make things tricky this year. Cocoa trees only thrive in a thin strip of the earth around the equator, and Ivory Coast is responsible for 40% of the world's cocoa beans. There is a temporary ban on cocoa bean exports from the country, but luckily, most of the country's exports got out before the bans went into place. While there probably won't be a chocolate bunny shortage this spring, consumers may be burdened with higher prices and smaller packages as a result. For more news updates like this, follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. For Earth Eats, I'm Luann Johnson.
Sure, the cold months are a time when your garden takes a little break, but there are some plants that keep producing into January and February. Late winter greens have a lot to offer, and they're probably fairly plentiful at your local winter farmers market.
Today we've got a really nice selection. You can see how colorful it is. So, you know, late winter cooking does not have to be boring. They're full of nutrients. You can just see how vibrant they are. They store well. What I do is I take them home, I wrap them with a little bit of wet paper towel, put them in an open plastic bag in the refrigerator, and they'll keep for another couple weeks. So we've got some radicchio here. This is escarole, which is one of my favorites. It's got kind of these dark leaves on the outside and then this really nice, almost like a sunburst yellow on the inside. We've got some frisée, which is kind of a curly endive. And then we've got some collard greens. This is a good old substantial southern green. A lot of times when people have something like a collard green like this, they cook it for 2 or 3 hours with a big knob of pork shank or something like that. And those are delicious, but there's no reason why you can't also do it more in a Brazilian way where you slice it really, really thin, quick saute with some garlic and ginger, and serve it with orange slices. I've got collard greens even into January in my garden that are still kind of struggling by, and we can go by and pick a few of those. I've got some of this nice curly kale. You can also get different colored kales. You can get the different orange and vibrant colored kales that a lot of times people use for decoration, but they're good to eat as well. And then we have all the different cabbages. You have red cabbage, green cabbage, Savoy cabbage, Napa cabbage, and even these little guys, which are Brussels sprouts, which are also a member of the cabbage family. Like I did say, they are much stronger in flavor than, let's say, oak leaf lettuce. So if you're going to use them in a salad, a lot of times you'll use a combination of flavors, such as a lot of times bacon is great in it with a little bit of honey. So you have the sweet, the smoky, the rich fattiness. Another thing a lot of people use on these kind of greens is different nut oils. So you have walnut oil or pistachio oil or pumpkin seed oil. All those things go really well with these types of greens.
If you're thinking about planting some of these greens in your garden this year, know that they love sun and slightly sandy soils. You'll also need to feed them with lots of good compost because they need their nutrients.
The one problem with most of these is that they, especially the cruciferous vegetables like the cauliflower, the cabbages, the Brussels sprouts, they really attract bugs. And they attract these little white butterflies that come around. They look really pretty, but they have lots of little caterpillars, and they just eat the heck out of them. One of the funny things is, though, since they are a late fall or winter vegetable, is first frost, these guys stay okay, and all the bugs go away. And then these guys really take off in the cold weather. So you can plant them early in the spring, get a good start on them, have some young ones during the springtime, early summer, and then they'll really bounce back at the end of the summer. And that's the same with cauliflower, broccoli, and all those cruciferous vegetables.
Let us know how you like to prepare late winter greens. Send us your recipes to eartheats@gmail.com. Spinach is another variety of greenery that loves cooler temperatures. But cooked spinach has gotten a bad rep for being watery. Here are two suggestions for how to cook the perfect wilted spinach. No water added. One under the broiler in a metal pan, and the other in the microwave in a plastic dish. Sprinkle the greens with a little olive oil, salt and pepper, and garlic before you cook, but not too heavy on the seasonings.
Okay, now spinach is going to cook down, so it's always better to under-season than to over-season because it will be really salty. Anytime you're seasoning greens, they kind of collapse onto themselves, so always just very lightly on the salt, and you can add more later if you want. Same thing with the pepper, because it looks like a lot of spinach, but you'll see once we cook it. All right, so here we go. I'm going to put this in for about 3 minutes in an industrial microwave, probably about 4 to 5 minutes in a home microwave. And then follow me over here. We'll put this up under the broiler. Now, you can use this broiler method with mushrooms as well. And you'll see it's going to wilt down very, very quickly, and it intensifies the flavor without getting it watery.
Spinach has vitamin A, B, and D. But spinach never appealed to me. But one day while having dinner with a guy, I decided to give it a try.
And it's getting juicy too, so I guess that's its natural juices coming
that's
out.
It. It's a natural liquid without it kind of cooking in its juice. And for me, that's about the way that I like it. It has a little more of a bite. It's kind of like a warm salad. And it will continue to cook a little bit after we pull it out of the broiler. And we'll just serve that with a little lemon on the side, or lime, or Meyer's lemon. Okay, and there's our microwave. 3 minutes.
So that's definitely a little more wilted.
A little more wilted. We could try to put it in there a little bit less time. But that's also perfect. You see, there's no liquid coming out of either one of those. You're going to have a really nice, intense flavor. We could put a little bit of Parmesan on top. And you could add other seasonings. You could add garlic. You could add lemon zest. You know, a little, instead of the olive oil, you could use a little bacon fat or a little bit of butter.
It's a good way to describe the one that you put in the broiler, a warm salad, because that's really what it feels like in my mouth.
And that would be nice, kind of sprinkled with some smoked trout. We used to do a salad like that served with sliced veal. And during the Christmas season, I did wilted spinach like that with a little truffle oil that I served with our roast beef.
I didn't like it the first time.
Plenty of ideas there to experiment with, but definitely don't forget the lemon. It makes such a huge difference in the taste of the spinach, trust me.
How it grew on me.
We're using the broiler again, this time for broccoli.
All right, today we're talking broccoli. It's a flower, and if you would let this stay on the plant, it would actually sprout little yellow flowers on top of it. But when it gets bigger like this, it's great to cook Italian style. And a lot of people think of broccoli just as a side vegetable, you know, something that comes along with a foil-wrapped baked potato and a big chunk of meat. But in Italy, they treat it more as the star of the show. We're just going to cut this, each one of these florets about into quarters or thirds. And we're going to blanch these off. It's where you have boiling salted water, plunge the vegetables into the water, and then you shock it by plunging them from when they're just very lightly cooked from the boiling water into ice water until they're cold all the way through. So we've got our blanched broccoli here. I'm going to take a few basil leaves, get that nice cinnamony, spicy aroma. We're going to put just a little bit of rosemary. Okay, spread that down on the bottom of the pan. Tear the leaves up just a little bit. Okay, then I'm going to lay out my blanched broccoli, just kind of in one even layer so it cooks really quickly. Okay, and then I'm going to take a little olive oil, sprinkle it on top, about a tablespoon of chopped garlic on top, a little bit of my favorite lemon zest, okay, and then up under the broiler. Okay, and since the broccoli is already par-cooked, it's not going to take long. If you're doing this in the summertime and you had the grill going, you could also do this over the grill, take it out to the barbecue, and you can use that as your kind of vegetarian starter if you'd like.
So you're just looking for it to get a little dark on the top?
Yeah, I want it to see that little bit of caramelization, almost a touch of burning. In French, they call it ferré, which means burnt but not burnt.
And they're sweating a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Those little broccoli soldiers are they're in the heat of battle right now. Okay, so it's probably been about 2 or 3 minutes. We got that little bit of char on them. We're going to put them onto a serving platter. Okay, and then I've got some toppings. And again, this is up to you, whatever you'd like to use. I'm going to put some anchovies, good source of your omega-3s. Just kind of rip them up. A little gorgonzola cheese, Italian blue cheese, some black olives, toasted pine nuts, and a little bit of tomato. Okay, we're going to finish all that off with a little touch of extra virgin olive oil and a good squeeze of some lemon juice. And that's our Tuscan-style roasted broccoli.
Check out photos of the finished dishes on our website. Print recipes while you're there, eartheats.org. And we're always curious to hear what you think about the podcast, these recipes, and the food news we report on. Leave us your feedback on the website or write us an email, eartheats@gmail.com.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com, online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.